This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. This is a program where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And tonight we're going to think about something that is becoming more and more prevalent in today's society. We're going to talk a little bit about video games, specifically video game addictions. And I have a couple addicts in studio with me right now. Steve-O and Deez in studio. Steve-O, your morning amigo here on M88. Deez takes care of M88 nights. And they're also both very rabid video game players. In fact, Steve-O, as we were getting ready for tonight's Raw Talk, was playing his video game. Brought it into the studio, was playing it. And I thought that was so perfect for what we're going to go over tonight. Here we're talking about video game addictions. And I come in, and there's Steve-O. Is he preparing for the show?
Absolutely.
Yes.
By
playing video games.
Doing research, dude. That's all I was doing.
Doing research.
So prepared.
If you have some questions about video games or specifically video game addictions or maybe just like Christianity and video games in general, we're all pretty well versed in that. I don't know if I'd call us experts, but we're about as close as you're going to get tonight.
I think I would.
Well, Steve-O, obviously, he's an expert because he brought his video games with him. 505-338-5790 for any questions that you might have about this topic of video game addictions as we go through that tonight. And anything related to Christianity and video games. Actually, Steve-O and I were part of an anthropology survey, which I thought was really...
Oh, fitting for this week.
I never thought I'd be part of anthropology. You know, that's just never your life goals, things I'd like to accomplish. I'd like to be part of an anthropology study. Just never occurred to me, but I still felt pretty happy that I was.
I know, I was too. And after that study, I felt more confident for the show tonight because I was like, man, we really are experts. We're not just Joe Schmo, casual gamer. We are avid gamers. We actually use it for many, many different things and very knowledged.
One of the side things I do, video game related, I'm a writer and editor for HollywoodJesus.com in my spare time, whenever that may be.
All right.
where we take a Christian worldview on a lot of things that happen in pop culture. I manage the video games section of that website where we go through, we review video games, comment on them, provide spiritual insight, and just, you know, guidance on, hey, if a game is good, we'll let you know. If it's bad, we'll try to give you a heads up so you don't waste your money. And then Steve-O and Deez both help out sometimes with that.
We used to, and then we discovered World of Warcraft.
then
now we don't have any extra time.
All right, well, let's dive into this. And again, 505-338-5790. If you have any comments, questions that you'd like to ask, this is the time to do it. Video game addiction, it's kind of a serious thing. It is a serious thing. Because video games are a multi-billion-dollar industry that brings in more money than Hollywood on a regular basis. It has infiltrated our culture without a lot of people really realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially... and no offense, but especially for the older generations, they just don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
And because of that, I don't think the church is quite as prepared for what is happening in today's culture with the way video games are influencing culture.
I absolutely agree. Well, and obviously I think it has to do with the fact that older generations didn't exactly have the video games that we have today, or video games in general, really, you know, unless you consider Pong and ColecoVision and all those, you know, true gaming
classics.
Yeah, so it is definitely a different day, as it were, in the gaming industry. And as you said, dude, more money than the movie industry is
that always surprises people when I say that. And like, what was it this past year? It was like $12 billion in 2007 total for the gaming industry. Might have been more than that. That's a conservative estimate.
And it comes off as just, it's dismissed as, you know, it's just toys.
Right.
You know, it's just a toy. Video games, it's like people think that there has been no change since, for example, Pong.
Right.
It's like, it's just a more advanced version of Pong, you know, and it's really, it's not at all. So video games have changed immensely since that time.
Mm. We have Paul on the line. Paul, welcome to Rod Talk, kicking things off this evening. And what do you have to say, Paul?
Yeah, I just wondered how Christians feel about World of Warcraft, because I enjoy playing it. I mean, I'm an older gamer, and I've been a gamer since I've been like 14. And it's just a pretty different environment when you get in the game. I mean, I try to spread the word as much as I can on it, but some people don't listen. Some people right. are cool with it. But I just wondered in general, because it's kind of a different environment. There's not too many Christians in it that I've found, but there's a few.
Well, so. You just found a couple more. I can tell you that much right now. I'll let Steve-O and Deez handle that particular question because they are both avid World of Warcraft gamers themselves. Mm. I have abstained from that. And I'll explain my reasoning here in just a moment. But Steve-O and Deez, why don't you toss in your 2 cents? And a good way to start off the program because
Amen.
World of Warcraft has generated a lot of press when it comes to the subject of video game addiction.
Yeah, and let me preface it with this because it's funny, Paul. I was actually talking to a parent this last week who has a 14-year-old son who would get out of bed in the middle of the night, sneak downstairs, and play Warcraft at all hours. Grades were A's, and then Warcraft came into the scene, and now it seems like D's and F's. And so this is a very touchy subject right now for me in my life, but World of Warcraft, me and Deez actually have a guild on the World of Warcraft, and every Sunday night, in fact, tonight right after the show, we have a prayer group, and we meet every Sunday night. We pray for the people playing the game. We pray for whoever else in our guild has prayer requests, and in fact, we've been able to use Warcraft to reach out to people on it, because obviously, as you know, as a Warcraft player, there are 10 million people playing this game, very real human beings who spend a lot of time in this fake world because, well, they want to get away from their problems here in the real world. And I guess that's kind of why me and Deez jumped on. And yes, we do absolutely still play for recreation and a lot, actually. But but we still try and use it as much as possible for ministry. And so to answer your question, if me personally, as a believer in Christ, I don't see any problem with the game itself. But I do see a lot of problems with people who spend countless hours doing that, and you see time in the Word slipping, you see time with family slipping, you see a lot of these things slipping, and that is not healthy. So you definitely have to rock something like that in moderation. But, you know, as I said, we try and jump on there as much as possible and just hang out with people and love on them. And in fact, you should join our guild and we could rock it together. You never know. But
I feel a whole lot better now talking to you guys. What server do you play?
We play on the Trollbane server.
Trollbane.
Yeah, and we're in a guild called Storm the Gates. In fact, Deez is our guild master. We're totally nerding out here. But yeah, we're in a guild called Storm the Gates, named after the Demon Hunter record, Storm the Gates of Hell, and that's literally that's what we're there for, you know. And it's been amazing. Every Sunday night we meet in Stormwind and at the cathedral with all of our tunes and kneel down, and everybody gives out their prayer requests, and we pray together. And in fact, you know, people have been walking by going, "What are you guys doing?" You know, and we've really been able to minister to those people.
In fact, a couple weeks ago we were there. We were meeting. We were praying, and a guy came by. Just some random young guy came by, and he said, "Hey, what are you guys doing? What is this all about?" And he saw us all, not us, but our characters all kneeled in Stormwind, and he said, "Well, what are you guys doing?" And we said, "We're praying." And he said, "Well, I have some prayer requests. Can you pray for me?" And he's in our guild now, and we've managed to hang out with him and do quests with him and help him out and minister to him just completely randomly. And
right.
it's just something that kind of happened, and God used it to speak into his life and in our lives as well.
That is so awesome. So. Wow.
Well, Paul, thanks for calling in with a great way to start off the program. We appreciate you calling in with your question tonight.
Hey, thank you.
All right, thanks, Paul. 505-338-5790. If you have a question about Christians and gaming, gaming addictions in particular, let us know. Or if you have a comment that you'd like to share, 505-338-5790. If you got a question about video game addictions, Christians and gaming, give us a call, let us know. And let me just be clear, this is by no means an endorsement of World of Warcraft, just because
right.
there's two guys
no,
in here
right.
who play World
yeah.
of Warcraft. Yes, there is magic, there is sorcery, there's monsters, there's creatures, all those types of things. That often is a very contentious point for Christians when it comes to the type of entertainment that we engage in. Many similarities there between Middle Earth, Harry Potter, C.S. Lewis's works, Chronicles of Narnia. There's a lot in common amongst those so far as the mythical creatures and the magic and all that type of stuff. And that is a big hang-up for a lot, of, a lot of Christians. So beware. We are not saying that it's okay to play.
Right. Please go out and buy this game now.
No. Yeah, this is not an endorsement.
No one's saying that. In fact, I myself have absolutely refused to play World of Warcraft despite the gentle encouragements of... well-meaning individuals who want to ruin my life.
Yeah.
And here's why. Here's why I do not want to play World of Warcraft. And I'm going to be brutally honest here. Because I would get addicted to it, and it would negatively affect my life. I am aware of that. I absolutely, without a doubt, know it. And, of course, being good brothers in Christ like Steve-O and Deez are, they keep telling me, no, dude, you're wrong. Come on, just try it. Just try it. You'll see. It'll be fine. As opposed to, dude, that's really wise, man. We're so proud of you. They can continue to try to entice me to engage in the World of Warcraft. But I know that that type of gaming would be very addicting to me, and it would have a negative effect on my life. And... you know, it may sound weak. It may sound like, oh, you're not a very strong Christian, whatever. I'm just being honest. I wouldn't be able to control it. I know it would get the better of me, so I will not go down that path. And that is forever going to be my stance from here on out. You'll never hear me change that particular tune because I know it will be addicting. But real quick, why don't we define this for everyone? What is a video game addiction? Do you guys know?
When you stop...
A video game addiction is no different than any other addiction, whether it be drinking, drugs, sex. I mean, any of these things that you are addicted to. It is when this thing in your life takes control of you and you cannot let it go under any circumstances, no matter what. I mean, it has a hold of you in a way that your job suffers, your family suffers, your life suffers. I mean, anything suffers. Now, at the same time, I know many people who... quote unquote casually play video games that, in my opinion, I would say have an addiction because they're playing them on a regular basis. They're not using them in moderation. And yeah, they still get their job done. They still do some things. However, you know, any kind of addiction, whether, like I say, video games or whatever else it is something that takes the place of Christ. And that is the bottom line. It is something that you're trying to fill that void in your life with on a constant basis. And for some reason, it's just not working out. So you're just going to keep playing. You're just going to keep trying different games. You're just going to, whatever it may be. But that's, to me, that's the bottom line. It is something that takes the place of Christ.
I was looking it up in the dictionary because I figured that'd be a good place to go.
All right.
An addiction, according to the dictionary, an addiction is when we devote or surrender, which I thought was an interesting choice of words. Mm. We devote or surrender ourselves to something habitually or obsessively. And again, the word surrender really stuck out to me, especially as a Christian. There's only one person we should be in complete surrender to,
Amen.
That we should completely surrender ourselves to, and that's Jesus Christ. And yet we compromise on that in so many ways, not just in video game addiction.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things that we surrender to other than Christ, and it should not be so. Did you know they actually have detox for video game addiction?
Wow.
There is a center in Amsterdam, over in the Netherlands, where they do detox for video game addicts because they have discovered that this is a growing phenomenon. It is a big problem. And these doctors at this treatment center in Amsterdam wanted to do something to help people. And real quick, just some additional definitions of video game addiction, according to this
Institute
over there. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Allergies are the worst, man. The person needs more and more of a substance or behavior to keep him going. That's a sign of an addiction. If the person does not get more of the substance or behavior, he becomes irritable and miserable. Also a sign of an addiction. And this is a serious problem. It's actually a medical problem. We'll get into that more here in just a bit. And when I say medical problem, I'm not making an excuse for anyone, all right? So we'll cover that here in just a moment.
All right.
We have JD on the line. JD, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, JD?
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you guys. I think it was Steve-O that said something about taking the game in moderation. And as Christians, you know, what's falling by the wayside to play the game? I play pretty avidly. I used to play a lot more, especially before I got married. And it used to affect my marriage in pretty negative ways. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to encourage some people out there because I actually had to get into some external counseling to get over some issues with this. And my feelings about the game and my playing the game was completely valid. My wife and I came to an understanding about, you know, I'm a gamer. I really enjoy gaming. But I also had to come to an understanding that there's people outside of the World of Warcraft or outside of other realms of gaming that they don't understand gamers. They don't understand what it means to you. And if they see you playing WoW for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and you're spending 2 or 3 hours a day with them, what's more important to you? Mm-hmm. And then when Steve-O said that about Christianity, you know, what is God seeing in you? What is God seeing? How much time are you spending in the Word? You know, do you get up and do your 15-minute devotional and spend 15 hours playing WoW? Where's your loyalties lie there? And people outside of the realm aren't going to know. They don't understand a lot of the time that it takes externally. All they see is that you're putting certain things ahead of them. And there's some understanding that they need to have. You know, you're a gamer, that's what you enjoy doing, but there's also things that you have to understand that people who don't play see differently than you do.
And it's something that's tough because these games are designed to be addictive. Let's make no mistake about it. World of Warcraft is designed to suck you in, and it's designed for you to keep playing forever. It literally is. It doesn't end with the level cap. It's designed to keep you going, be it through, you know, player versus player, arena leagues and arena teams. They have an arena tournament coming up. It's designed to do that, and I think people need to be aware of that, especially parents and people who have loved ones who do this. And if you're going to get involved in it, you have to keep that in mind as well.
That's going to be a bigger problem for video games in general, not just with World of Warcraft, which kind of pioneered the whole idea of a continuous gameplay, but with downloadable content for PlayStation, for Xbox. Yep. Games are constantly being added onto, where not in the same manner necessarily as World of Warcraft, but for instance, there's a game, Mass Effect, that they just added an extended story section to. And, you know, with Call of Duty 4, they have new maps that you can battle on. Same thing with Halo 3. So the idea of downloadable content, because of the internet, because of the technology we have today, that you can continue to get more of that legal addictive stimulant for yourself. And the developers will be happy to provide as long as you're willing to pay. We have Andrea on the line. Andrea, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I was just thinking that you had said something about things being in moderation, and there's a verse in Romans about that no thing in of itself is evil, but we can make it evil by, like, replacing God with it, and that's pretty much all I had to say.
It's very true. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, that was a good point, Andrea. Thank you for calling in and mentioning that.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night. 505-338-5790. If you have a comment that you'd like to add to tonight's conversation or a question you'd like to ask about Christians and video games addictions in particular, give us a call. 505-338-5790. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few months back in February, I believe it was, there was a Stanford study that was released that chronicled the difference between men and women when it came to their addictions to video games. Do you guys remember reading
that
report?
Yeah, I remember that.
And the thing of it that was really interesting is they're saying that with both men and women, when you play to video games, there's a certain section of the brain, which I couldn't pronounce even if I wanted to. It's like the mesocortical-culmic center.
We'll call it the meso brain.
The meso brain center.
Yeah.
Anyway, a center of the brain that is where you have rewards and addictions. That's basically where that generates in the brain. And it was stimulated both in men and women, but far more so in men. And, you know, let's break this down. We all know that men are task-oriented.
Yeah. Right.
You hear that any marriage conference you go to. You know, it's one of the basics of understanding the differences between men and women. You understand that men are task-oriented. Women are often relationally orientated. The way that we think about problems is totally different. You know, okay, got that. Well, that goes over to our addictions to video games as well. Video games feed the male addiction for task and reward. Just like in World of Warcraft, Halo, anything that you play. And I feel it when I'm playing because I'm always thinking, I know I can do better.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You get on, you start something, and you do a little bit, and you're thinking, oh, I know I can do better than that. Let me start over. And that is where the addiction begins, the idea of completing a task for a reward. And it's so dangerous. And I thought it was fascinating that they finally were able to actually do a study that illustrated the difference between men and women, that men are greater risk, basically, right, for video game addiction. So, but not that women are totally unaffected, but men, it's so much easier for you to get addicted to video games. So beware. Know your limitations. Like, I know I couldn't do World of Warcraft because I would be salivating over, I know I could get to that next level.
Oh, man.
I know I could get that piece of armor. I know, it would just never end for me, and I don't want to.
Well, you could just have Steve-O make you the armor because he's a blacksmith.
Yeah, see,
okay,
exactly.
Well, that helps.
I'm
that
a master armor smith. I could totally hook you up, bro.
Now, let me just say, though, just because I got medical research, oh, it's not my fault. It's a medical
condition. I can't help it.
Don't go that route, because so not true.
Right.
And we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. Right now, we have Mason on the line. Mason, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Mason?
I was just wondering, what do you guys think about the online multiplayer RuneScape? It's sort of like World of Warcraft, except it's, it mostly is like World of Warcraft.
Well, I have not played it myself, Mason. You guys?
RuneScape, when did that come out, Mason?
I'm not really sure, but it's been around for a while, though.
I haven't heard much on it. I think part of why we play WoW is because it's the biggest. I know that's part of
it.
World of Warcraft. I think, I just don't know anything about RuneScape. I've heard of it, but I don't know enough about it to really make any assessments of it. So.
Sorry about that, Mason. That's one of the few games that we haven't played.
I know.
Yeah. It's fine.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, man.
No problem.
And you know what? A lot of what we're talking about, though, even though we haven't played that game, the stuff
still
that we're talking
applies.
About tonight
definitely
still applies to any other game out there. So hopefully you'll still get some useful information from tonight's conversation.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mason.
No problem.
All right. Up next, we have Vinny. Vinny, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, this is Vinny from World of Warcraft.
I'm
in the guild with Steve-O and Deez.
Ah,
hey, Vinny.
What is up,
What's
dude? How are you, Canalis / Alder Fox?
I am awesome. Steve-O had mentioned earlier about how he was an expert gamer. I had a call just to correct that. I know that Deez is more of an expert just from playing with him. But I love them both wholeheartedly, and I just wanted to say that even though they play this game of WoW, which is incredibly addicting, that they have God's word and His will in their hearts. And we get together Sunday nights, and we meet up with people that we don't even know, all around the world, and we share our needs, and they share their needs, and we just gather together and we pray for them. And I think that's just the most amazing thing ever. I mean, it provides like another source, if you will, to connect to other people that we wouldn't even know otherwise.
Right. Let me put you on the spot, Vinny, because I remember when we had the last Raw Talk, we talked to video games. In fact, was when me and Brian actually got to meet you, and then we all kind of started this together. What would you say has been the fruit of all this? Because you've kind of been there from the beginning, and would you say if somebody asked you, dude, how much time are you putting into this as opposed to time in the Word, as opposed to how would you respond to somebody about something like that?
I could barely hear you. Said how much time?
Yeah, how much time? Like, because I know last time we talked. On Raw Talk, it seemed like that's when we met each other, and we kind of started this whole group together, and just some of the fruit that has come from this / obviously as one of our main guild guys, you've been there a lot and you've seen a lot of the things that goes on. I mean, just from your perspective, your experience with this ministry in Warcraft, talk about that for a sec.
Yeah, we have met with a lot of amazing Christians in this guild. People that, were just passing by, and we just so put a little macro in saying, we're a Christian guild, and not necessarily that you have to be Christian to enter the guild, but we're reaching out to people, and we've met just amazing people through this, and being able just to be there to share with them. The Christ ministry, it's just an awesome experience altogether. I've been playing World of Warcraft for 2 years. I can't really keep track. It's been such a long time. But I know that, it's become an addiction to some point, you know, but there'll be times that I'll just get bored with it, you know, and just want to break away and then come back to it. But what's most important to me whenever I play the game is the people that are on it and just really sharing, you know, God's word with them and letting them know that he cares about them, cares about their troubles.
Amen. Well, thanks for calling in, Vinny. We appreciate you calling in and putting these guys on the spot. Have a good night, Vinny. And you know what? I want to put you guys on the spot for just a moment because, okay, you know, we've been talking a lot about the ministry that you guys do on WoW. And I want to be careful about something, lest people think, oh, the ends justifies the means. As long as you mention God once or twice when you're playing a video game, then it's totally okay to play as much as you want. And this is just me trying to provide the balance
absolutely
for this, okay?
Right, no, absolutely.
You guys are my friends, so it's cool if I
right
talk to you like
go
this.
You
know, most of the time when I hear you guys talking about WoW, it has nothing gospel-related.
Right.
85%, 90% of the time, it has nothing gospel-related to it. How much of your game-playing time actually has any sort of ministry value when you're actually playing WoW, aside from the Sunday night thing? And in that, then, how are we saying that, oh, yeah, well, because we do that, then playing as much as we want is okay?
Well, see, let's get back real quick, because I have a big, long answer for this one.
Only an hour long
I know,
program.
Right?
Come on.
Okay, getting back to what Andrea said in Romans, that, you know, it was talking about money there, I believe, actually, but when she said that it isn't, you know, in and of itself, it's not inherently evil, but, you know, what you place before the Lord, you know, and for me, I actually have been able to step back a minute, because I did notice in the beginning, like, dude, I'm really liking this game way too much. My time in the Word has gone down, and my video games has gone over that threshold of okay, you know. And so I actually placed some boundaries before me that, all right, I have to rock a proverb every day, you know, whatever day it is. You know, today's the 6th, so Proverbs chapter 6. I'm in Psalm 37 today, and I started in Matthew over again. I want to read the New Testament. So it's like, okay, I have to read these three chapters before I even get in the game. And if I don't read those chapters, then I don't play today, you know, because that's just what I'm trying to do. However, that still isn't like, okay, speed read through this. You know what I mean? I could never do that. To answer your question, I believe, and from the bottom of my heart, I honestly believe that 95% of the time, I want to say 100%, but I would be lying if I said 100%, man. But you know what? Every single time I am on there, it's like, okay, even if I'm just hanging out, rocking, you know, whatever my quests are, or just do, I still interact with these humans, with these other people around the game. And it's all in the way you handle yourself and the way you do things. Because a lot of people, let's be honest, playing video games are kind of jerks. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. There's no etiquette. There's no anything about that. And so for me, honestly, I would say 95 to 100% of the time, I try to be as nice as I can and use that video game etiquette or whatever you will, because you would be shocked how many times you would have somebody come back and go, dude, thanks for not being a jerk back there, even though I was a jerk to you. And those little seeds that we plant, that we do, I think are worth it in and of itself. Now, I don't say this to go, and so because of that, I spend 12 hours a day online and it's okay. Absolutely not. I still will only play in moderation. And in fact, it's hard for me to say I've played more than an hour, 2 hours a day anymore, because I can't dedicate that much time anyways in any aspect of my life. But I honestly believe that when we are on here, when we are doing this, and Vinny, one of our callers who is actually part of our group, can vouch for this. Man, as he was talking, our core group of people, we have about 100 guys in our guild right now. And every time we're on, we're all on, and we're talking about Rico and his wife who's in Afghanistan, or we're uh-huh talking about our friend Dale who is in Baton Rouge right now, who had a prayer request for his family. And so every single time we're on, we're still hanging out talking about it. Yeah, when me and Deez are here at work, we're still like, dude, I totally got to get these level 70 bracers. They've got plus 43 stamina and 23 intellect, and they're epic. And we're always talking about, like, the fun, cool things. But when it's game time and it's go time and we're there actually playing it, I would love to say 100%, but I'll say 95.
Anything you want to add, Deez?
Well, I didn't get the game to do ministry at first. It was like, I'm gonna play World of Warcraft. I'm gonna play, you know, an MMORPG, and it's gonna be awesome. I've never done this before. I'm kind of excited. So I started playing it, and I played it way too much. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point where it was like, I gotta play less. And Steve will vouch for this. I don't play nearly as much as I used to. My dude is maxed out, which obviously means I played a lot for an extended period of time.
I didn't even look in a mirror for days.
I'm just kidding. I didn't. But I play less, and it is more about the Lord, because that's what God put on our hearts, and He put it on our hearts pretty quickly to do this guild, and this guild is the size of many churches.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, the average church in America is 100 people. Right. So this is, okay, well, soon we will be the size of the average church in America. But it is about the ministry, and it is about sharing with people. And I was in Blade's Edge Mountains the other day, and I was fighting, and I was fighting a bunch of dudes, and there was a guy that was he was an undead priest or something,
right,
which is an enemy guy, and he was hanging out, and he was fighting a bunch of dudes, and I rescued him. I went up and like started. I'm a hunter, so right. I have a pet, and so I started shooting people, and I fought
saved
and
him,
helped
basically.
Him. I helped him, and then I left, and then he within you know 30 seconds he logged off, and he got on as an Alliance character. He just created a random dude, level one, and was like, "Hey man, I just wanted to thank you for helping me in Blade's Edge just now. I was that guy that you just helped, you
that's
know,
cool.
Bubble Face or whatever his name was." And so I was like, "Hey bro, that's cool, you know." And that was it. And I was able to minister to him in that way. And it's like it's just as Steve-O mentioned, little things like that and little seeds and people bringing their prayer requests to you. And the Sunday night thing is really a blessing, you know, mm-hmm. because it's just such a huge part of what we do with the ministry there.
Now,
I know
one
you
thing...
want to say something, but Audra's been waiting here
okay,
for
okay,
a
okay.
Let's take the call.
Audra's been patient. Audra, go ahead. Welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, guys. How
hey.
Are you?
Good.
Hello.
We're doing well.
Yeah, good.
Good. I just felt I needed to call. I mean, there's so many things as a wife married to, of course, a gamer. we've been married for 10 years, and our marriage has definitely grown in over 10 years with his love for games, but... You know, in the very beginning, it was there was a gentleman who was on the phone, and he spoke about how he had to go get counseling because it affected his marriage. And I would definitely say that we were in that boat, you know, in the beginning. It really affected our marriage, and I would probably say partly because we were new believers and we were learning how to have a mature relationship. But now I've come to... just the conclusion that in everything in life and in every hobby, you know, whether it be gaming or exercising or, you know, whatever hobbies that we do, croquet, I mean, I don't know, golf, everything we do in life, it has to be looked at, you know, from an eternal perspective, mm-hmm. the eternal value of everything that we do in our everyday life. And what is the eternal value of the time that that you guys do spend playing games? And if you want to bring ministry into it, yeah, there's a lot of unsaved gamers out there. And I'm thankful for the godly men who are, you know, who do take part, and maybe they come into contact or, you know, on Xbox Live or whatever, and they're able to perhaps water a seed or plant a seed or maybe even harvest. I do know that my husband did have that opportunity, you know, at one time, and I was very, you know, I thank the Lord for that opportunity that he gave him. Now it's there. I just have to say that, there are times when he does make a choice. Is it going to be God, his family, or the games? And I'm very thankful tonight when he told his good friend, he said, you know, I have laundry that I need to help my wife do, accomplish around the home, and there's some things that I have to do. And he's very mature to where he can make a choice, because we are called to submit to one another in love. And when the gaming aspect overtakes your relationship, your finances and your time with the Lord, and if those things are compromised, then that's a problem, because we do have to look at our priorities, and that is God first, family second, and everything else, you know, falls after that. And just, if I could just encourage you guys to just, you know, the eternal value that you have on that. I mean, and there are times too that I'm thankful that my husband has an outlet when he does play these games, because he has a very stressful job. And I'm thankful that, yeah, he can come home and he can release some stress in playing some games, or he can relieve some stress, you know, in other areas. But it's just that he, this is a really good outlet for him. And I have grown in my relationship with the Lord where I have learned that, you know what, my husband isn't going to fulfill all of my needs. My fulfillment is going to come from the Lord and the Lord alone. And if I do get irritated, you know, then I need to take that up with God. You know, and I will just say a prayer and ask the Lord to help me, you know, be more understanding, or that we could work it out. But usually if I'm picking a fight over the games, there's an underlying issue of something else that needs to be resolved.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, just, you know, just look at it in the light of the eternal value on it. You know, we all, you know, God wants us to enjoy ourselves and have a good time and nurture the relationships that you guys have. And I know if it weren't for the games, the Xbox Live, my husband has a really dear friend that he loves like a brother, that he would not have that time to spend with him. And because of Xbox Live, they've been able to maintain that relationship. And, you know, and I know that he really values that. And that's important to me, that he is, you know, that that's important to him. And there are times of frustration, but, you know, I think we, you know, if it wasn't the games, it'd be something else, a toilet seat or something. So, you know, I'm just, you know, it's good to just have an open relationship and maybe just set, you know, boundaries, like, okay, you know, if you're away for 3 or 4 hours having a girlfriend out and playing games, or I'm going to come home and play 1 or 2 games or whatever, but it's all about a communication with God and with your spouse.
Right. Dude, you absolutely nailed actually what I was wanting to say, because I think the eternal value is absolutely what it's all about. Because like Dee said, we didn't buy the game to like, hey, you know what we should do? Let's buy an online multiplayer video game so we can go save souls for Christ, which unfortunately that's kind of sad, you know, because we should be doing that with everything. We just bought it to have fun. But then we realized, man, this game is pretty addicting, and there's about 10 million people on here who need a savior. And so then we're like, rather than just throw this to the wayside and call it evil and do all these things, let's try and find a way to where we can minister to these people who are abusing their time or spending too much time playing these games.
I'm trying to remember who it was that suggested you guys do that.
Ah, I don't remember. He wears glasses. Yeah, he's kind of nerdy. I always expected him to be the computer gamer, but...
I don't remember. He's a good-looking fella, too, if I recall.
I could just encourage also just one more thing.
Yeah.
And this isn't everything. It's just continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is saying, turn it off, then turn it off. You know, whether if it's to go pray, spend time with him, spend time with your wife or with your family, or, you know, or it's just, we need to continue to just have that sensitivity in every area, because when we ignore the Holy Spirit, you know, then that's going to be hindering, you know, being able to hear his voice another time. And that's with everything, you know, and with the gamers that it is a different group of people, but, you know, it's like God, it's a people group. It's almost like a different people group, like a different,
right.
You know, like the 1040 window. It's like the gamer window.
Right. The gamer window.
Our own language and everything.
Gamer window.
Yes. Audra, thank you so much for calling in. You made me realize I should have had Gamer Widows on tonight to offer some more perspective on that, because it's the number one area that's affected by gaming addictions is relationships. So thank you so much for calling in with your insights tonight.
Absolutely. Have a good night, guys.
All right, you too, Audra. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in and be a part of tonight's conversation. You know, one of the things that she brought up, and it's been mentioned a lot tonight, 1 Corinthians 6:12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, this isn't a whole section that Paul is writing about sexual immorality, mm-hmm. but that phrase right there is what jumps out at me. Right. But I will not be mastered by anything. And what Audra was saying is very key. If you cannot master your behavior to play video games, and when the Holy Spirit calls, you can't tear yourself away.
You got to get rid of it, yeah.
That is a problem. And I can say with honesty, you know, we talked not too long ago about Lent, fasting for Lent. And for me, fasting for Lent has always been a time to realign my priorities.
Right.
And there's been some times when gaming was getting in the way of God, and it had to go for Lent. And that realigned my priorities for the rest of the year. And, you know, I praise God for that. And I haven't had to do that particular fast of late because I've been able to keep that in its proper place. But, you know, my wife, like Audra, is someone who's always been there to kind of provide some even balance for that.
Right.
I think fasting is, I think for me, it's, I haven't played as much, and there's entire weeks where I don't play, and it's kind of
sad because I miss him.
Well, I think it's important, and actually that now that you bring that up, that's something I think I'd like to start doing. You know, where I take a month and I sit it out. You know, for a month, and I don't do anything. I can make Steve-O the guild master and have happy times. You know, but you have to have that self control. And if you're not mature enough to handle it, you shouldn't get involved in it in the first place. You know, especially if you have that personality where you're going to get addicted to it.
Well, then stop offering it to me.
Well, I have the CDs in my car. If you want me to go,
yeah,
no,
I actually remember one time where I had to physically remove my gaming machine and gave it to my wife. Say, hey, go put this somewhere where I can't find it.
That's wisdom. That is wisdom right there.
I still owe my brother an NES and a TRC Surf and Skate because when we were little kids, I smashed our NES and his cartridge because I was like, we play too much video games. It's interfering with the Lord. I'm not kidding. I was 7 years old. I still, I love you, Scotty. I'm sorry. I still owe him like a video game system.
Confessions of video game addicts. 505-338-5790. We have Bryn on the line. Bryn, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Bryn?
Oh, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I just wanted to go back and talk about that the seed that you plant. I know I'm an avid gamer. I mean, I love Xbox Live. I play it, like, a lot during the weekends. And I know how hard it is to minister to people online because, you know, you're getting shot at or whatever, and you're a little stressed out, and you're like, what the heck? So I know, and I really wanted to thank you guys. Like, it's honestly really hard because I've seen people that are like, I'm like, hey guys, good game. They're like, what?
Yeah.
What did you just say to me? Like, good game? It's hard to be nice. I just really wanted to thank you guys because I know it's hard.
Oh man, yeah. As I think gamers can relate because, yeah, as you said, if you lose a game, you're playing like Halo 3 or something and you lose, the other team is quick to point out the fact that you are terrible, you know,
yeah.
And not that nice of way, you know. And so it's always difficult, especially when they're yelling at you or coming down on you. But it's with anything, man. I could be, say, I was on the mountain snowboarding and some skier cuts me off, you know, hey. It'd be pretty difficult for me to go, hey, God bless you, man. That was awesome. Way to shred. All right, bro. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's what the Lord has called us to do in all areas, you know. So I just, yeah, I hear you, bro. It's definitely difficult, but it's what we're here for.
Yeah, it is very hard, though.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Bryn. We appreciate you calling in tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right. 505-338-5790 if you got something you'd like to add to tonight's conversation as we talk about video game addiction. Some of the warning signs of video game addiction that a person is playing for increasing amounts of time. They're thinking about gaming during other activities. They're gaming to escape from real life problems, anxiety, or depression. Lying to friends and family to conceal gaming, feeling irritable when trying to cut down on gaming. These are just a few of the things that you can be looking for if you think you might have a friend with a problem. Now, fellas, let's real quick before we get to Wayne here, let's answer the most important question we can answer tonight. How do we help someone who has a gaming addiction?
Wow. Okay. Well, this one is actually a difficult question to answer because gamers, unlike... I'd say alcoholics are unlike any other. They're their own people group. They have their own languages. They have their own everything. So even just talking to a gamer sometimes is a very difficult thing. However, the number one thing I would say you have to do is come at them in love, dude. You go back to the word, you do some research, you pray about it, and then you go to them in love. Because if you come at them from the angle of, dude, that video game is owning your life and you need to throw it away because they're not going to want to listen to you. They're just going to want to go play video games. Uh-huh. And 9 times out of 10, they really will. They'll just walk away and be like, you know what, bro? I've got some friends online who are much cooler and nicer than you. I'm out. But if you approach them in a way like, yo, dude, I really miss hanging out with you, man. It seems like lately you've been playing way too much Mario Galaxy, and I just miss the times where we used to play basketball and hang out, and I just love you, man. And I just stopped collecting those coins, bro. And I'm just kidding.
That's never happened.
Dude, I've called you before, and you've been like, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. You're playing Mario, aren't you?
Yeah, that's another sign of someone who's playing a video game. Not attentive during a phone call. They are definitely hooked on a video game. Something else that I think is really important that we need to touch on, how to help someone who's playing video games, something that Audra touched on. Where are you ultimately finding your satisfaction in life?
Right.
Where are you ultimately finding meaning and fulfillment? As I was preparing for this, I was thinking, you know, well, what does the Bible have to say? And one of the things I kept coming across in the book of Psalms, the book of Isaiah, all these places, talking about how the Lord satisfies, which I thought was so cool that it just repeats that. Like in Psalm 90:14, it says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing of your joy for joy and be glad all our days." Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, and you know what's... We all have a need to fill our lives with something that satisfies us. We all have that hardwired in there. And we all know that Jesus Christ is the only thing that satisfies, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you replace God with World of Warcraft, you're never going to be satisfied. Even if you play it for 18 hours a day, which leaves 6 for sleep and eating. I just did the math right here in my head. It's not going to satisfy. It's as simple as that. It's not gonna satisfy like hanging out with other Christians or fellowship or the word or prayer. It's never going to satisfy. It's like filling yourself with any other thing, TV or, you know, alcohol or sexual relationships or anything. It's never going to satisfy. So I think that's a great point. You know, it's like, man, you can play WoW till you're blue in the face, but it's never going to give you fulfillment, you know. Ever.
When
so
I read,
that comes from God.
When I read a study like that Stanford study about how it manipulates the centers of our brain for reward and addiction and things like that, and I think about, man, it's too bad the Bible doesn't do that. But I often think that was on purpose. You know, God doesn't necessarily want to manipulate us into having a relationship with him. He wants us to do that out of our own free will, out of our own cognition, not because we're being dominated by some sort of dopamine triggered in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's work. But one of the things I loved, William Wilberforce, the guy who was integral into ending the slave trade in England, mm-hmm. one of the things that he kept pointing out is that being a Christian is a discipline. It's work. We don't like hearing that.
Right.
We think it should be easy. It should be like playing World of Warcraft. You sit down, you can't stop because it's so addicting. But God wants more out of us than that. He wants us to be disciplined, to be persistent, to be people who pursue him out of our own choice, through all difficulty. And at the same time, there is a certain addiction to it because, man, you can never get enough of God.
Yeah. Amen.
You can never max out with God.
The level cap is like the infinite symbol with God.
We have Wayne on the line. Wayne, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say? That's a good one. I like that.
Thank
one.
You.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Wayne.
A lot of my comment was already taken over by Steve-O, but that's okay. I'll throw it out anyway.
Nice going, Steve-O.
One of the kind of funny things I like to point out is that there's some recent studies that have come out that have shown that excessive video game playing is not considered a mental illness by a lot of organizations,
mm-hmm.
but that they're showing it's associative behavior.
Right.
That's kind of a funny point. But what I was going to point out is that I used to play Guild Wars. I was going to play WoW, but then I found it was $15 a month, and I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So I did Guild Wars, which is free, and I was part of a Christian guild for a while, but then I had to give it away because, you know, the Bible speaks a lot about the intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I go out there playing quests and whatnot, I still have the intent to go destroy, kill, or whatnot, you know, various critters, enemies, or even other players. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me eventually just give up gaming, was because I didn't like the intent of the heart that was being put into me, even though it was with other Christians, or, you know, even though I gave myself moderation, the intent was still there, and I had to give it up for that reason.
Hmm. You know, and that's very wise, because that is definitely one of those lines of discernment that can be so fuzzy for people. And what I brought up earlier with you guys, can we really say that the ends justifies the means when it comes to gaming because of some of the type of behaviors that it does encourage, like Wayne is pointing out. So thanks for pointing that out, Wayne.
No problem.
All right, you have a great evening. Go ahead,
Dean. To kind of go in there, you know, if someone from our guild came to me and was like, hey, you know what, I've been here for like a year, I've got to bail because it's just not working out, I need to focus more on the Lord, it's like, that's awesome. You
right.
know, it's like, that's where we should be, you know, if it's becoming a problem for you, bail, you know.
It's like, but who's going to be our tank dungeon, man?
That doesn't matter, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, kudos to people who I like that, you know. I think that's awesome, that maturity and that self-control to be able to say, hey, you know what, this is becoming a problem for me, and I need to bail. And if it's becoming a problem for you and you need to bail either permanently or temporarily or hiatus or whatever, then go for it, you know. And if it's replacing God in your life, you need to 86 it.
And here's something that you can do if you're like we were talking about earlier, if you are a quest-based dude, you get yourself a little chart, right? And every time you read a psalm or something, your psalm reading ability is raised by one. You just check it off, right? And then you keep going with everything, and you're like, dude, I just dinged. I totally just read Psalms chapter 42. That's amazing. My psalm reading ability is, I'm a level 36 psalm reader.
And for the record, ding is like leveling up.
Yeah,
that's ding means.
Sorry, I am a nerd. I'm leaving. I gotta go, man.
We have Teresa on the line. Teresa, welcome to Rod Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, you were talking about how to minister to people who have addictions to games and things. And
uh-huh.
My husband and I... we almost ended our marriage over WoW, and it really got to a point where, you know, he played a lot, and to him it wasn't an addiction, but it was, you know, he would play that more than he'd help me around the house or more than he'd spend time with me, and he wouldn't even admit that he was addicted, and I got to where I was, like, leaving the WoW widower websites up to see him, and... You know, like trying to hint that, you know, there, and then trying to talk to him, and it became such a sore subject that we would just end up with these like terrible fights. And God showed me that I was trying to change him, and God showed me that there's nothing in my power that I could even begin to change somebody. And so He just basically, God just really put it on my heart that I needed just to pray for the peace of God and the truth of God to reign in my husband's life, that his eyes would be open to see how it affects the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still plays now, but our marriage is strong, and I know in my heart from a non-gamer perspective that I'm more important than a game. But I've also learned that is an outlet for him, and that he does need to get away. Some guys work on their cars. Some guys do, you know. So the biggest thing is God showed me that I needed to step back and release hold of it and just put it in his hands and allow God to move in his life. And that's when I finally started seeing changes. So.
Yeah, that's good advice, Teresa. I'm glad you called in because, and like Audra was saying, one of the number one things that's affected by gaming addictions is relationships. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for sharing. And you're absolutely right. The only one who can change the heart is God. We can't change someone's heart. All we can do, hopefully, is open their eyes to what's happening. But God is the one who has to change people. We can never change people. So thank you so much for calling in with that.
Have a good night.
You too.
You too.
And it was funny because when she was talking about that, I was thinking, for some reason, Isaiah 55:2, says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And, you know, whatever the context may be of that verse, I think it's totally apropos for what we're talking about tonight. Because, you know, when you think about it, with gaming, you're spending something on nothing, basically, that will ever satisfy. And what we're encouraged to do is to seek what truly satisfies. Now, not to say that gaming is the evil that's going to end society, but also not to say that gaming is something that's totally okay as long as you mention Jesus while you play.
Right.
All right? That's totally not what we're saying. What we're trying to point out is that gaming addiction is real. It can negatively affect relationships, especially the key relationship, our relationship with God. And we as caring Christians need to first and foremost be able to recognize gaming addiction and help encourage people who have gaming addictions. But at the same time, just because someone plays video games, not assume that they're addicted to video
right.
games.
Right. Yeah. However, one thing I do want to point out, because we've been talking a lot about relationships and marriages, because, you know, when we're looking at the percentage of gamers, it's like the average age is 35, right? Yep. The average age gamer. However, teenager kids out there still living at home under your parents, I definitely want to make this clear. You know, we talk about how, well, you can't change the addicted gamer, only God can change the heart. If your mom or your dad doesn't want you playing that video game, guess what, bro?
Yeah.
You don't get to play that video game because you still need to honor your mother and father. And if their wishes are not for you to play that video game or not for you to have that video game system all together, you know, you're just going to have to go with that because you're still living under their rules. And so I definitely don't want any kids to be listening going, dude, you know what? They said that I could do this. And they said, you know, because it's a different realm, I think, when you're talking to a grown up who plays video game in moderation to, you know, after work or after. And then when a kid comes straight home from school and doesn't do their homework and all they do is play video games. And I mean, totally different world of thought. So I just wanted to throw that out there for the kids listening who are writing this down trying to make an excuse for their parents.
You know what? Kudos to parents who are involved, you know, because
Amen.
Because if you buy your child a video game, if you buy your child World of Warcraft or you know, Lord of the Rings Online or whatever, you need to know how much they're playing.
Right.
There's timers. You need to put a lock on it.
Yeah.
You can only play this number, you know, this many hours a day. If you don't, you're grounded. You know, it's like just be and, you know, that's obviously a parent's decision. That's just a suggestion.
Right.
But it, you know, be involved in what your child is doing and take it seriously. Do not dismiss this as a toy because it's so easy. I mean, it's so easy to get addictive to these kind of addicted to these things. It's unbelievably addicting, and parents need to be very wary of letting this into their homes, and it's, you know, you just need to. So.
And there are parental controls on consoles like the Xbox 360, the Nintendo Wii, the PS3. The Xbox 360, in fact, has something where you can control the amount of time that they play. You set it for a certain number of hours to be played during a week. Once that time's up, it's locked. It won't turn back on for them. And so there are controls in place that you can use to help moderate gaming, especially for younger people, but sometimes it's helpful for us as well.
Right.
Absolutely.
I am the parents. The parental controls are for me. They're called parental controls.
Right?
That's what they're there for. In Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37, you know, someone comes up to Jesus and asks him what the greatest commandment is. You guys know what the answer was. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Why am I bringing that up in something about video game addiction? Because if you can't honestly say that you're keeping those two commandments because video games are getting in the way, there's something that needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been times in my life where I can honestly say to my shame that I was not keeping those two commandments because of video games. And God willing, there won't ever come a time in my life where that will happen again. But I know that it's a possibility,
right,
which is why I don't play WoW. It's why I don't play other certain games, because I know it will interfere. And I don't want that to happen. And so stop asking me to play WoW, you guys.
You know, and off of that scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. As long as you are, like we've been saying all night, adhering to all of the things we've talked about, and you are putting the Lord first, I don't see anything wrong with enjoying a simple video game or whatever, as long as you are acknowledging him in all you do. And that's why I enjoy our guild that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been pretty amazing. That one life that we have brought to Christ, in my opinion, is worth the whole thing. You know, It's like there is one more person in the kingdom because of that. And if you're a gamer and you're an online gamer and this is all new and crazy to you, feel free to email us.
Yeah,
you know, stevo@m88.org or studio@m88.org or if you guys want to give out yours, whatever.
Ryan@m88.org.
You know, we have been doing this for a while now, and I think once we turn that new leaf that, dude, we could use this for ministry, it's been a whole new ball game, as it were. And I've really enjoyed gaming in a whole new light, because it's like, this is an untapped mission field, and a lot of people are gamers, and not a lot of people are using it for the glory of God, and we should do that with all things. So.
1 Corinthians 10:31.
Amen.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for Raw Talk tonight. Good conversation. Thank you, Steve-O and Deez, for joining
me
tonight.
Thanks for having us.
And just keep in mind, anything that was said tonight doesn't reflect what the beliefs are of the staff of management of Calvary Albuquerque or M88. These were personal opinions expressed on this topic of Christians and gaming addiction. So don't take that as what the corporation or the station believes or anything like
right.
that. All right? That's just us as individuals. Thanks for joining us tonight. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Norman Geisler as our guest. We're going to talk about what are the essentials of Christianity, what are the true non-negotiables, and what are the things that don't really matter, and how can we tell the difference, how can we stand with conviction without compromise on what's really important, and how can we then agree to disagree on the things that don't really matter. So we're going to dive into that with Norman Geisler next week. Should be a fascinating conversation. And again, if you want to ask more questions, you got emails that you'd like to send us, we'd be happy to answer those. Studio@m88.org. It's going to wrap things up for Raw Talk tonight here on M88.